The opinions expressed on all WRCA programs are those of the program producers and do not express the views of WRCA, its staff, or management.
Hi, Peter Scheinfeld here, rocking at night every Friday night at 11 p.m. on WRCA Watertown, Boston.
Yes, gang, it's another exciting episode of Tube Talk on WRCA 1330 AM. Plunk, the Eastman Rochester Pops Orchestra, conducted by Frederick Fennell. This is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio. Welcome aboard. Well, you know, up in New England here, up in Rhode Island, which I believe is the last state in the Union that actually has an official holiday, an official celebration. They call it Victory Day now, but it is really VJ Day. Victory over Japan. So you can only guess what that means here at Tube Talk. Yes, indeed.
History in every century records an act that lives forevermore. We'll recall as into line we fall the thing that happened on Hawaii shore. Let's remember we'll be right back.
we did the Alamo. We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
Was Sammy Kaye and his orchestra. Can we talk? Just me and you? Frankly. Now, don't get alarmed. Do you long for days when baseball cards came with a piece of chewing gum? Do you wish you could get up in the morning to the smell of hot, fresh-brewed coffee brewed in a stovetop percolator that was made in the good old USA? Do you wish you could still hear swell music and civil conversation on AM radio? Well, you're one for three, folks. You have tuned in to Tube Talk, where we celebrate our entertainment and electronic heritage every Friday night on WRCA 1330 AM and streaming on the WRCA 1330 AM website. And boy, do we have fun doing it. And we did get an email. We had featured the music of K-Star a few programs ago, and I got a very nice email from a listener down on, as we say in Boston, down on the South Shore. That's like Weymouth, Braintree, Quincy, for those of you who aren't indigenous to this area. And they liked K-Star so much. Well, you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, from a V-disc, here is K-Star. So there you go, South Shore of Boston. That's K-Star. And that particular song was recorded at a Armed Forces radio service from a naval hospital performance in San Diego, California in January of 1945. Pretty cool stuff. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a few words from our sponsor.
Soon you'll be able to walk into your Admiral dealer's store and confidently buy the style radio or radio phonograph you want. The selection of Admiral radios will be complete. There'll be radio phonographs with the famous Admiral exclusive features. Slide away that makes loading and unloading your record changer so easy. And the foolproof Admiral automatic record changer. There'll be consoles and table models and newly designed cabinets of fine woods and modern plastics. There'll be farm sets and portables in many styles and sizes, including the popular Admiral Bantam, the camera-type radio that operates on alternating current, direct current, or self-contained batteries. There'll be new electronic refinements and AM, FM, and shortwave reception. And now about television. Admiral's extensive research assures television receivers with true Admiral quality. So, whatever you want in radio, you'll find it in an Admiral, America's smart set. You can get a very good idea of what Admiral will offer if you'll write for a free copy of the new full-colored booklet entitled It's a Promise from Admiral. Just write your name and address on a penny postcard and mail it to Admiral in care of this radio station. That's all. Just your name and address mailed to Admiral at this station.
Well, if someone can tell me where I can get a penny postcard, I'm going to mail in because I'd just love to see the new Admiral line.
Is the sweetheart you married the husband you expected him to be? Has the war created new problems for you in your marriage? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends and neighbors, Arid presents John J. Anthony, founder of the famed Marital Relations Institute, in a brand new program of daily sessions of kindly and helpful advice. Just as Mr. Anthony, by examples in this studio, is helping thousands of men and women solve their personal problems, Arid, too, is helping thousands to solve the important personal problem of underarm perspiration. Arid helps you avoid perspiration damage to clothes and safeguards friendships. Use Arid every day. It helps stop perspiration safely, and at the same time, Arid is a most effective deodorant.
Well, just to show you that we do listen and read your email, we've heard your clarion call for more female vocalists, so here's Doris Day.
Sailing through the moonlight, sailing on the bay.
We were sailing along on Moonlight Bay. We could hear the voices ring. They seem to say, you have stolen her heart. Now don't go away. As we sang love's old sweet song on Moonlight Bay,
we were sailing along. Voices ringing, they seem to say,
you have stolen her heart. Now don't go away.
As we sang love's old sweet song on Moonlight Bay.
Sailing along on Moonlight Bay, we could hear the voices ringing. They seemed to say, you have stolen her heart.
You have stolen her heart.
Now don't go.
Thank you, Doris. Very sweetly sung. A beautiful song. So nice to hear that on the radio. Still playing beautiful music on your AM dial. And you know, it's interesting to note, I hear from antique radio collectors, I hear from people who enjoy the music, and it almost seems sometimes like we have sort of a dual audience here at Tube Talk. And, you know, for the most part, though, it sounds, I can kind of get a feel from some of the messages I get and the emails that people do listen to the whole thing if they tune in. So whether you're here for the radio chit-chat or the vintage commercials, which we had tonight, or just some beautiful music on AM radio, we welcome you to Tube Talk. I am your host, Paul Burish, and just a few items of note here. Just a little mention of a recent obituary for another great singer of American songs, and you may have seen her on any one of hundreds of TV shows. She was just prolific, her and her partner and husband. You may have seen her on Carol Burnett or Steve Allen Show if you go way back, but Edie Gourmet has recently passed away at the age of 84, I believe, and she was the half of the Steve and Edie team, and certainly put their fingerprints all over Las Vegas and the Vegas scene, but also were on every family-oriented music program I can think of, or program that featured music on television as well. And sad to note that she has left us. And interesting to see what they used to sing, too. You know, gee, what's the key to their success? Well, they had good voices. They could do a little dancing. They were all-around entertainers. And they sang Jerome Kern and George Gershwin and Frank Lesser. You know, all the standards, all the classics, the great American songbook. Edie, we wish you good night. And some breaking news here. Breaking news. The Toy Industry Hall of Fame is being located to the Strong Museum in Rochester, New York. So if you're an Antique Wireless Association member, or if you ever plan on going up to visit the AWA up in Rochester, if you're going up that way, it might be a good take. If you're into vintage toys, I know for us, radios are our vintage toys, but if you like a vintage toy, the Strong Museum will be featuring the Toy Industry Hall of Fame, due to open in the fall of 2015. And I have some original copy here I can read from the news, should my bifocals cooperate. The great minds of the toy industry will now be honored alongside the famous toys that they created under a new partnership being announced at the Strong Museum in Rochester. Museum officials say the National Toy Hall of Fame, housed at the museum, is being combined with the Toy Industry Hall of Fame, which honors individuals. Past inductees include Milton Bradley, Frederick August Otto Schwartz, and George Lucas. Officials say the groups have been talking for some time about combining their respective halls as a way to raise their visibility and exposure and promote their educational missions. The newly expanded hall is expected to open at the Strong Museum in the fall of 2015 after undergoing $4 million in renovations. Check it out. Well, time for one more song here, gang, before we go on to our guest this evening. And this is really nice stuff. This is Dinah Shore with Andre Previn, the conductor, but he's playing piano on this. And this is a capital, full-dimensional stereo recording. And I've got to tell you, it sounds so nice. And it's the type of thing, you know, people spend their lives trying to figure out how to solve all the problems in the world. Well, I'll tell you what, we found the solution here at Tube Talk. You come home from a long day at work and sit down in a nice, big, easy chair, and you just listen to this, and the problems of today's world will simply melt away. Yes, they will.
Someday you'll come along. I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I'll understand. And in a little while, he'll take my hand. And though it seems absurd, I know we both say a word. Maybe maybe I will meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not. Still, I'm sure to meet him one day, maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home just meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Who would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man.
Shore with the vocal, Andre Previn on the piano. Beautiful music to listen to. A George and Ira Gershwin composition, The Man I Love. John Hartman joins us this evening from the beautiful White Mountain region of New Hampshire, and you can see some of his rig and some of his barn where he houses it up in his little space at the Radio Attic at radioattic.com. You can also see some of his wares that he's got for sale. And, you know, just before we even get started, John, I just want to mention to people, frequently, you know, we always warn people. We have what we call rule number one here on the show. If you've just found that 75-year-old radio up in Uncle Ernie's attic and you're all excited about seeing if it works, as we tell them, never plug it in. Have it checked out by a competent professional. It could be dangerous for you. It could be very dangerous for the radio. You could toast it. And then I'll get emails from people and they'll say, where can I find a competent repairman? Well, John Hartman is a competent repairman, so we'll get on how you can get in touch with him if you need to have a radio serviced anywhere in New England, but I imagine you could ship it up to John as well. So his motto is, let's hear them play again, and I have to say that's really a motto I think all of us in the hobby share. John, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you, Paul, for having me on.
Well, you know, it's exciting to have somebody on from New England. We talk to people all over the country. And John has a great story for us involving driving halfway across the country to come up with a haul of a boat anchor radio that he really just absolutely had to have with a friend of his, and their trip bringing it back home. So it's a great story. But maybe, John, you could just give us a little idea. When did you all get interested in radio? You sent me a little message, and you were telling me that it started when you stuck your head in the back of a radio when you were just a little kid.
Yeah, that's the classic start, I guess. I guess, really, I can't remember when I wasn't interested in radio and science and all kinds of things. But, yeah, I do remember. It was an old cathedral radio, and we always seem to have radios around the house, but that one in particular, for some reason, I just kind of loved, and it was, I don't know, it was probably a Philco, you know, but that little light on the dial there and those voices coming out, and then looking around in the back, seeing those shiny tubes and the dial light in there, geez, it just, and it smelled nice, too, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'll mention that to people. I'll say the smell, and they look at you like you have, you know, three heads. But there is especially if the chassis is a little hot, there's a certain scent that comes off, and it just tells you that you're listening to something good.
Well, that's true. It's really true of military radios, which I love to restore. You know, they're big, black, heavy, and smelly.
You know, it's, you get along fine with Ross Hochstrasser, who's an occasional guest here. He's also a member of our the New England Radio Club I belong to. And Ross has kind of moved in. He's just fallen in love with the boat anchor scene. And while he will pick up, I'll see him with another radio, you know, a commercial set occasionally. It's an interesting thing. A lot of times when that bug bites, it just takes people over and they fall in love with it. So, well, obviously, that's probably what got you stuck on making your big trip down south to pick up the Big Mama, as we'd probably call it. I saw the shot in the email you sent me of you with the block and tackle, trying to get this beast down into your shop there. So before we get on with the story of you going out there and how you found it and bringing it all back, why don't you tell us what it was? It's the BC-610, apparently, correct?
Yeah, it is. Well, that was one of many, but
yep.
The one I was really after, actually, well, I was actually after the Navy receivers, the RBA, RBB, and RBC, which are big, black,
smelly
Navy guys, but they're wonderful Navy receivers. But that was the BC-610 Model E, which is highly sought after in the ham world. And it weighs probably 800 pounds.
Now, just out of curiosity, do you know who manufactures these? What companies specialized in this stuff? I'm sure it might be some names we're familiar with, but do you have any idea who actually built these? It was like a Collins manufactured for the military, or do you know who was making them?
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends on what radio you're talking about, but the BC-610E is actually a Holocrafters radio.
Oh.
It was the original, I don't know, the original model was a civilian model and was the top-of-the-line transmitter. It's a 1 kilowatt AM transmitter, AMCW. And that one, the BC-610, was a military version of that. And they beefed up the tuning coils and things like that. And it was actually a portable radio, and it was hauled across Europe after we landed at... in France there, and that was actually hauled in a van along with a trailer with a generator, and they would go just behind the front lines basically, and they would be able to reach their other stations, you know, somewhere in England.
Mm-hmm.
And let them know the status. It was a tactical radio that was huge, but it was also, you know, a kilowatt. It could reach out. And so that was what it was first built for. They were also in the European theater. But that was a Holocrafters. The RB series Navy receivers were made by RCA. And that was manufactured in Camden, New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
which was their major manufacturing place. The ART-13, which I also have, and that was originally a Collins-built and then there's, I also have an obligatory R398, and that was made by various manufacturers, but primarily, initially, Collins.
Mm-hmm. It was a great reputation.
PTO, oh yeah, they're incredible.
And RCA, of course, with their big marine radio ship-to-shore history of being the way for ships at sea to contact either each other or back to shore. I'm sure they were putting together some very good stuff for the service as well, so sounds like you got some good stuff there. Now, from what you were telling me, you saw some of this type of equipment. You were down in Fall River here at what we call Battleship Cove, where we have the Battleship USS Massachusetts in Fall River. It's in mothballs, but it's a educational exhibit now, so you had seen it, fall in love with it, and then what comes next as far as how you tracked it down and figured out how you were going to get one of these?
Well, the next step on that was an ad in Antique Radio Classified. I didn't really get many responses because a lot of them were built, but they're fairly getting kind of rare. And nothing happened. And finally, I got a response from George down in Jackson, Mississippi. And it seems he had all three of those radios, the RBA, BB, and BC. Which it took three radios, mind you, to go from 20 kilohertz up to about 18 megahertz. They divided it up in three radios.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he had that plus a whole bunch of other things, including the BC-610E. So after a lot of correspondence and negotiating, he finally agreed he would part with them. So I teamed up with a great friend of mine, old Buzzard John, K1KHP, who is a long-haul trucker, among other things. And he happened to be down in Florida when I was going to be in New Orleans on a business trip. So we decided to meet up in Jackson, Mississippi, and look up George and see what he had. And that's basically what we did. But there was a lot of problems along the way. Namely, John was quite sick when I finally found him. But that and the weather turned very bad and all that kind of stuff. But we met up and we went around several different storage sheds and hauled out this stuff and loaded it in his trailer, and he hauled it on back to New Hampshire to meet up with me 2 weeks later.
Now, how was this stuff? What kind of condition was it? You said it was in the sheds. Was it in pretty decent shape when you found it?
Yeah, these were dry storage sheds. That was not the problem, although it was really raining, so a lot of the stuff got wet.
Mm-hmm.
But it all needed to be restored. You know, nothing that old, including myself. It's not.
Oh, I understand. More and more each day, I understand.
Yeah, I know, because I can restore these radios back to, you know, 1920s, 1930s, whatever, back to pristine condition. But nobody can restore me.
I know. Well, you know, it keeps you young, though, and it's doing something that you love. Now, your friend John sounds like an interesting character, too. Concert organist, pilot, and truck driver, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, he's quite a character, I'll tell you. Kind of lost track of him here lately, but I have a feeling he's still around. He loves cats, and that was one of the issues. He brought his cats along with him, and somehow they stayed in his truck. It was actually an M880 military truck, but yeah, they survived. He did too.
It was an amazing guy to go, you know, to travel with my cat to the vet. Can be a harrowing experience. So, you know, God bless him if he's taking them on the road with him. So now he loads the stuff up, and you came home via another method, and he was driving home. Is that how the trip worked out?
Yeah, I caught an airplane home as part of the business trip, so I was able to fly above the clouds and enjoy a margarita, or actually it was a Bloody Mary, after I had left him, and he... He managed to go out again after I was gone to get some more stuff, but
good for him.
That's the way it. That was part of the ending. The other ending was in my driveway when he finally pulled up, and some water came out of that trailer. And by golly, if it wasn't rain from Jackson, Mississippi, when we loaded it, but it's quite a deal. And actually, you can read that whole story. It's a short story. It's on the Gray Hair Net website. It's www.grayhairnet.org. Grayhairnet.org. Search down that front page, and you'll see the story of the Great Dixie Boat Anchor Haul.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Every radio collector, you know, when you go to a swamp meet or you go over to visit somebody and check out their collection, the stories are, you know, as you were saying, sometimes it's the experience of going, hunting it, finding it, having to correspond with somebody halfway across the country, numerous phone calls, the logistics of bringing something home, especially if it's, you know, a very valuable or large or heavy set. It's the memory of the adventure and bringing it home is part of the biggest thrill of the whole thing. And once it's restored and playing and it's in a nice place in your radio room or your shop or wherever you like to keep them, it almost sort of fades into the background, you know. And for some people, it's always the thrill of the hunt that keeps them going in the hobby. Once it's back and playing, well, you know, it gets a little pedestrian after that. But there are folks who enjoy the hunt. There are some people who just enjoy the technical work. I mean, I know guys who fall in love with something while they're actually working on it, and then, you know, a month or so goes by after they've finished it, and, you know, they're ready to go on to the next one. They enjoy them more when they have it all apart. And they're checking out the technology and how it was put together and, you know, troubleshooting all the problems. That's their thrill. And then there are people who, you know, enjoy all aspects of the hobby and love to go and listen to them and play stuff through their AM radio transmitters through it, or if it's got an RCA jack, they love to listen to either great music or classic programs, and that's the other end of the hobby, too. But I think you really hit the nail on the head when you were telling me that it's the experience and the memories as much as anything else. Now, how long did it take you to get all of that stuff up and running? I mean, that sounds like a project and a half.
Well, it depended on what the gear was, because there was a lot of it. We hauled up about a ton in all, and I got about three-quarters of that ton of stuff. And I went after the RB series receivers first, and that probably took me about a week. Well, not even a week per receiver, although there was a lot to have to do. I had to I didn't have to recap it because the military uses good capacitors, but I did have to change out all the resistors, believe it or not.
That's sort of a reverse
it is.
Scene.
That was, these resistors have kind of a, they're different. They're, they have sort of a rough surface, and I guess it was just a brand that that had a problem. The resistor values went up on them significantly, and that sometimes happens on these resistors. And you see them occasionally, you know, you got to go after those, get rid of those, or check them out anyway, because invariably the resistance goes up. And then the BC610E was a longer chore because I had to get some fairly rare tubes for that, 2A3s in the audio area, and of course the 100TH tubes, and also there was a 250TH tube that I had to get, but... And, of course, tearing it all apart is a chore. It's
sure.
As much mechanical as anything. But, yeah, it took a little while. But, I was working at the time full time, so, and also traveling, so that didn't help. But it gets done. It's surprising how fast you can do these things when either, A, you want to get it working, or, B, you have a customer that wants it yesterday.
No, that's true. That's true. Now, you know, I get your opinion on this. I hear a lot of folks who are into the boat anchor scene will, you know, routinely tell me that, well, you know, it was a lot of work, but, you know, they say if you've ever seen how these things, A, are built, because they're built solid, and B, they'll tell me that they're laid out in such a fashion that they're designed to be serviced, you know, as you were alluding to when you were talking to, you know, how these radios were used over in France to get word back to general headquarters, apparently, in England. You know, these are the types of things that if they broke down, somebody had to be able to get in there and fix it. So things are laid out pretty well. There's some room to work on inside there. It's not as if they were trying to cram something that was too big, you know, technology-wise, into fitting it into a little cabinet or squeezing it down. Usually size was not a major concern. And do you find them easy to work on than commercial radios that were designed for home use?
Yeah, I do, Paul. You forgot one very important aspect, in that there's military manuals on these units, and those military manuals are incredible. They're written very concisely and step by step. They not only tell you what you got to do to troubleshoot, but they explain the entire circuit so that you understand what you're doing, and that's very important on a repair. If you understand it, you know why you're doing it, and it makes sense, and you know. It's just a lot easier. That's that manual. That's an incredible thing.
Yeah,
but the other deal is that, yep, they're laid out to be serviced. There's a manual that tells you how to do it. And the components that they use in those things are just the highest possible quality. The wafer switches are ceramic, for instance, not phenolic. So it's very rare that one of those switches are bad, and that's usually a real problem in a commercial repair.
Yeah, you know, as a lot of the old-timers will tell you, you get to talk to them, and they say, well, a really good repairman knows the theory as well as what to do. So that sounds like what you were talking about with the manuals designed for the radio man who, you know, might have been working in an office a couple years before getting drafted and finding himself in Europe and under fire and saying, you know what, my unit depends on me getting this thing back in service. If we're going to get some support, whether that's on the ground or air or tank support. And my dad had a friend who was one of these guys, you know, he's the World War II generation, and he was a Navy radio guy and served in the South Pacific. And this friend of his worked for the Boston Edison at the time with him, and he's one of these guys, he could fix anything. He'd fix cars. You know, that was his job. He was a fleet mechanic with the electric company. But he'd fix appliances. He'd fix radios, TVs, cars. I mean, nothing daunted this guy. He was just very gifted. And, you know, so I was asking him. He fixed the first antique radio I had when I was about 14 years old. And all I think he really did was take out the electrolytics and test the tubes. And he got this thing going. Well, I thought, wow, this guy's, you know, he's a swami. You know, he can fix this. This thing was dead as a doornail when I had it, and he got it playing for me. So, you know, I'd ask him, I said, how'd you learn how to do all this stuff? And he says, well, you know, he says, when somebody's trying to blow you up, he says, it's amazing how quick you can learn on the job. But he never really told me much, but my dad told me that he was in some very hot spots in different island campaigns, and in one case he told me he was taken off a ship and dropped behind lines to help a marine unit get their stuff up and running. And you know, he's that much of a whiz. So what a great you know, I have a great deal of respect for that whole era, not only the equipment but some of those guys, some of those old timers who would, you know, get it going under the most adverse conditions you can imagine. Some of the rainstorms in the South Pacific and jungle conditions, I mean, not really very conducive to fixing electronics, but hats off to those guys, huh?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's an incredible book I have read many times that I have. It's called The Lonely Vigil, and it's about the coast watchers that were in the South Pacific, namely the Solomons.
Yep.
And they had these things they called teleradios, and they were big boat anchors, and they had the generators, gasoline, the whole thing. But anyway, they intentionally let themselves be left behind lines. And they were the ones that reported on the Japanese bombers coming down from
sure.
the ball.
Yep.
So that the poor guys that are at Guadalcanal wouldn't have time to get their planes up
right.
to form an air cap. But they talked about the problems they had with these, getting these radios into the jungles and camouflaging them and having to get away from the Japanese and all. But it really...
That's amazing stories.
Very inspiring story, and it's the ultimate DX.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and a lot of that stuff, I'm sure, was brought in by submarine and rubber rafted up to the shore and then hauled in by the coast watcher. And if he had some friendlies on the island that he is, you know, was acquainted with, or some people he could trust that he knew, you know, pre-war, and they'd drag that stuff somewhere where they could get the signal out, but also hopefully... keep it from being found out and risking their lives and in the process. Amazing stories. These guys reported on convoy movements or really any type of activity, whether it was land activity, and you were certainly right on the ball there watching the skies, you know, so and all that stuff getting reported back. Now, currently up in New Hampshire, up in the White Mountains, which people may be familiar with if they've ever taking a vacation up in New England, a very scenic, pretty area, especially in the fall, beautiful up there. You are now the proprietor of a vintage radio repair shop, and so if anybody needed to contact you, John, what's the best way? If somebody had a set they wanted you to take a look at, or they had a set from Grandpa that they just had to restore, because they used to listen to the Red Sox on that one with Grandpa when he was still alive, and boy, I'd love to get a playing again. What's the best way to get in touch with John Hartman?
Well, the best way is the name of the my company. It's Antique Electric Radios. It's advertised in the business card section of Antique Radio Classified.
I've seen the ads, yes, sir.
And I'm right in there. That's probably the best way.
Easiest way.
Just look it up in there at our Google, you know, Antique Electric
sure.
Radios, Eaton, New Hampshire. And... yeah, that's and I do have a website on the Radio Attic page. My web page is, well, I only give that. Email is my ham radio call, NM1H, Nancy Mike, One Hotel, at hotmail.com. That's probably the best way to get me. And I
very good.
Live up here in Eaton, New Hampshire, in a little town, in a crevasse in the mountains.
Well, you know, that in itself, when I've been up in New Hampshire, I've always struggled with radio reception, especially during the day, because I guess the terrain isn't really very conducive to ground wave. But in the nights, I've done better. Now, do you usually find most of your stuff getting shipped to you, or do you get a lot of local New England business, people actually come up, take a ride, and go on a little vacay but drop off something for you to repair? Do you get a nationwide business, or is it more of a regional thing?
Well, it's varied, but I do. It is national, that's for sure. I've even had European customers. But more and more of it has been more in New England, where they'll come up here to go skiing or shopping or check out the inns and drop off a radio and then pick it up later, or I'll ship it back to them. So I get a lot of New England business up in this area. Anything north of Boston, I tend to get a lot.
That's great.
So that's the way it is. And we do hundreds of radio repairs here over the last 10 years or so.
Hey, just a question for you. In the commercial world, in the non-boat anchor world, and you know the radios that were made for use in the average residence, do you have any favorite manufacturers or any favorite sets? Do you prefer one over the other, or do you just sort of like it individually based on the way it's laid out and the tube count and the design? Is it an individual thing, radio by radio, or are you a Philco guy or a Zenith guy or an RCA guy?
I wish it was that easy. I mean, in the repair business, you got to be an every model guy. And I don't know. I guess I'm kind of favorable towards the Zenith Transoceanics. I kind of like to work on those. A lot of people won't, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's how those things were used in the past on sailboats traveling around the world or whatever. But I like those. But Philco's are fine. I've got one going on the bench right now. It's a monster. And RCA, it doesn't matter, really. They're all pretty much the same as far as commercial is, and the circuits are pretty much the same.
As we say on the show, from Admiral to Zenith, you know, they're all there, and a lot of companies would make them, you know, what they say, house radios. They'd make them for department stores or private label guys. So, you know, a lot of things were made by some of the bigger companies, even though they may have an individual, you know, label on it, whether it's a Ward's Airline or a Silvertone. You know, who knows who manufactured them, but it's great stuff, and it's great that you're making them play again, and it's great that you're doing all of this right here in New England in the beautiful White Mountains. And I'd just like to say thank you, John Hartman, for being on. It's been great. I enjoyed your story because, as you said, the thrill of the hunt, and that sounds like quite a hunt. Those are those one-in-a-lifetime finds. You know, I read a story in Antique Radio Classified about similar type thing, a guy who found a radio that some folks owned. It was they got it from a furniture store, and they weren't quite sure what it was. It was an elderly couple somewhere out in Missouri, and again, after a lot of calls and letters and try to build a little confidence with them, well, it turned out it was a Stratosphere, you know? So little did he know, but hey, you never know until you actually get out there and check that stuff out. John, thanks for being on. It's been a thrill talking to you. Have a great night.
Thanks, Paul. Hear him play again.
Take care.
Take care.
Won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home? I've moaned the whole night long. That rainy eve that I drove you out with nothing but a fine tooth comb. Yes, I know that I'm to blame, and ain't that Bill Bailey, won't you please come home? Yeah, won't you come home, Bill Bailey? Won't you come home? I moan the whole night long. I'm gonna do your cooking, honey. I'm gonna pay your rent.
just doesn't get much better than that. That's Patsy Cline. Thank you, John Hartman, for being our guest tonight. That was a great talk. We loved your story. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we would be remiss if we did not remind you this is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, the program for the music lover, the antique radio enthusiast, and the person who just loves to listen to a swell show on AM radio. We are here for you each and every Friday evening at 10 p.m. If you'd like to reach the show, we are here at tubetalk1@gmail.com. Let us hear from you. I'll play whatever you'd like if I have it. And just to show that's true, here you go, South Shore of Boston. We love K-Star, too.
Now one of the Barnett feature vocalists, K-Star, with one of the year's big hits, What a Difference a Day Made.
The day made 24 little hours, brought the sun and the flowers where they used to be red. My yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm part of you, dear. Above can't be stormy. Since that moment of bliss, that thrilling kiss, it's heaven when you find romance on your menu. What a difference a day makes, and the difference is.
K-Star, and that's another vintage recording of What a Difference a Day Made. Armed Forces Radio Services, recorded at Camp Rousseau in Port Henemy, California. And I don't know if I butchered the name of that town, but that goes back to August of 1945. And now, let's hear from another sponsor.
Schaefer is the one beer to have when you have been more than one. Schaefer pressure doesn't fade even when your thirst is done. The most rewarding flavor in this man's world for people who are having fun. Yeah, Schaefer. is the one beer to have when you haven't more than one.
Yeah. With a thirst like this, Louis's good for more than one beer. That's why this is a thirst for Schaefer.
Yes, Schaefer is the one beer to have when you haven't more than one.
Mr. Louis Armstrong, promoting one of those brands from the past. Who remembers Schaefer? Well, Eric likes Johnny Mercer, so here's some Johnny Mercer for you, Eric. Hope you enjoy it if you're tuned in tonight.
Shine, little glowworm glimmer. Shine, little glowworm glimmer. Lead us lest too far we wander. Love's sweet voice is calling yonder. Shine, little glowworm glimmer. Hey there, don't get dimmer. Light the path below above. Lead us on to love. Turn on the AC and the DC.
This night could use a little brightening. Light up, you little old bug of lightning. When you gotta glow, you gotta glow.
Glow, little glowworm, glow.
Glow, little glowworm, glow. And glimmer, swim through the sea of night, little swimmer. The shadows deep and darken. You and your chick should get to sparking. I got a gal that I love so. Glow, little glowworm, glow.
Little glowworm, turn the key on. You are equipped with taillight neon. You got a cute fast pocket Mazda, which you can make both slow and faster.
I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're out to make a sign to.
I got a gal that I love so. Glow, little glowworm, put on a show worm.
Glow, little glowworm, glow.
That's Johnny Mercer. Glow, little glowworm. Well, gang, we're glad you stopped by. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. I'll be back. My Brill Cream in. My Black Work Oxfords shined. My RCA Radio Technician Specialist smock neatly pressed. And I'll be here with a bag of music and who knows what else. Thanks for listening. Good night.